One of the most common questions I get asked about online course creation is about how to protect your course content from copycats. In fact, I've seen new course creators spend so long worrying about this and exploring their options to protect their content, they never actually get their course on sale. In this episode, I'll share what I've learned about protecting your online course content. I'm Janet Murray. I'm a business strategist, copywriter, and online course creator. And over the last decade, I've generated hundreds of thousands of pounds in sales of digital products, including online courses, ebooks, memberships, planners and journals, templates, you name it. I've sold it online. I've also helped hundreds of clients create and launch online courses, and I use my strategic copywriting skills to write courses for other people. I created this podcast series to help you navigate the overwhelm around online course creation and sales, because I've learned a lot of things the hard way. In this first season of this podcast series, I'll be sharing all the things I'd do differently if I was starting out again, so you can avoid making the same mistakes I did and hopefully save yourself time and money in the process. Whether you're thinking about creating your first online course, have already started creating your course, or have a course and just want to generate more sales, I feel quite sure you'll get value from the Online Course Strategy Made Easy podcast. So make sure you subscribe in your favourite podcast app so you don't miss an episode. So the first thing you need to know on this topic is that you can never truly protect your course content from theft. Even if you invest in a membership site, let's face it, people can still share their login and password. Sure, you can invest in software to see who has been logging in, etc. That is possible, but that's probably an unnecessary expense, particularly when you're a new course creator, and may cost you more than you're actually making. So my advice on this topic is just to do what you can. And here's some things that you can do which are absolutely free to help protect your intellectual property. First of all, create T's and C's about how your content can be used and how it can't. And remember that T's and C's are basically just a list of your terms. So you don't need to buy special templates. Again, that might be something, along with the advice of a lawyer, that you might want to invest further on down the line. But in the early days, just thinking about what your boundaries are. Like, what would you be okay with? What wouldn't you be okay with when it comes to your content? Writing down those boundaries as a list of T's and C's and sharing it with your clients. Connected to that, the other thing you can do is add copyright disclaimers to your resources. So if you've ever invested in any of my templates, for example, my social media templates, you'll know that I have a copyright disclaimer at the top of every single one, which might sound a bit scary, but it basically says it's my copyright and you are not permitted to share or sell any of these resources without permission of the copyright holder. And I think it actually also says that doing so could result in legal action, which might sound a bit big and scary, but I like to have it on there so people can see it and there's no misunderstandings. It's there, it's on the content. I say that because something that you might want to consider further down the line, in fact, a strategy when it comes to online course creation and digital resources, can be to license the rights for other people to use your materials, including any templates you create, any checklists, any recordings, any ebooks that you create. You can actually sell the rights for people to do that. Again, probably not something that you want to think about when you're just starting out. Keep it simple to start off with, but making it clear on your resources whether that's part of the deal, whether that's what people have paid for or haven't paid for, I think a sensible idea. The other thing you can do is password protect if you can. Again, this doesn't mean, as I've shared in previous episodes, going down the route of investing in expensive membership sites. There are plenty of free or low-cost ways to even protect Google Docs or Word Docs. So that's another strategy that you can use. But the final thing I'd like to say on this is just to have some perspective on it. With the best will in the world, even if you do all of these things and more, there will probably be a tiny minority of people out there who don't have the same standards as you, if you like, and may use your content in ways that you'd rather they didn't. But if I think about my 10-year journey with course creation and sales, I can only think of a handful of times when I've had cause for concern. And actually, to be fair, the other thing you need to consider is that, and this is where why your T's and C's are important and thinking about this stuff up front, is that people don't always know that they're doing something wrong. So I've had a few examples over the years. So for example, I had a client a few years back now who took my course material, and I just happened one day to be on Facebook Live and to notice that they were basically teaching my strategies on their Facebook Live to their clients. Now, they were name checking me and they were saying, hey, I learned this from Janet Murray. And it can be a fine line because I often mention in podcasts or blog posts, you know, if I picked up a tip or a particular idea from someone, I say, oh, by the way, this isn't my idea. You know, I picked this up from this person. But there's a difference, I think, between doing that and actually step by step teaching someone else's strategy and thinking it's okay to name check them. But I genuinely believe that it wasn't intentional. They just didn't know. So I reached out to them privately and pointed out that it wasn't okay. And they took the content down. And I've had two or three other situations like that where people have been alerted to the fact that people have been using my content in ways that was not intended. And actually, I think in all of the cases, they didn't know and they didn't mean it. And when I quietly pointed it out to them and asked them to stop, they apologized and stopped doing it. So I think my last piece of advice here would be to accept that there are probably going to be a tiny, tiny minority of people who are going to behave in ways that you wouldn't with your content. And for those people, there is always legal action that you can take. But if you hold yourself back from actually putting anything out there or creating anything because you're so scared that somebody might steal your content, you're actually limiting yourself. And it can be another excuse not to get your course out there. So do have some perspective. So I hope that's helpful and has given you some insights and perspectives around protecting your online course content, and hopefully can help you move past some of the fears that you've got and just get on and do it. And as I often say to clients, do what you can to protect your content, but in all likelihood, any problems that you have will be a tiny percentage of your overall sales. So it's really better to focus on creating great course, getting great outcomes for your learners, and not get too bogged down with all of this. In the next episode, I'll be sharing how to design a funnel for your online course without any fancy tech.